Chris, quite a bit happening. What did you think about the Ivy League announcement yesterday?
Oh, that was anticipated. I think, you know, for them, sports has their a different type of relevance. I think, obviously, to make that decision now is just something to get off the table for them and go on to more important things. You know, look, I mean, I have scouted the Ivy League because there are a number of pro prospects over the years that have had to go there, and it's a really good setting, and it's probably as pure old college football as you can get. But we all know they don't make a ton of money. They don't really have big TV contracts, and they don't have big gates, and they don't rely upon that. Their endowment with those eights are just ridiculously in the many, many billions. So it's expected. It's to me, what's going to be interesting, and I think people have asked me about, well, what does this really mean? It doesn't mean anything other than that's just somebody that has less of a priority on the need to play football, making a decision quicker. I think you're going to see the schools that have to rely a lot more on the financial wherewithal of college football going to approach this a lot different. Now, the end result may be the same depending on what goes on, because it doesn't look good listening to the news, but then I don't know what to gauge on all that, but I think it's going to be a little bit different, Bill. What I think everybody's plan is, look, we're planning to try to get everything in, but then we're going to plan on if we got to push it back, and then if they got to push it back a little bit more, they'll push it back as far as they can until they say, we've run out of time. The calendar is already, limited. No one really wants to play spring ball. That's only the option that if we get to the point where it's December and we still haven't been able to get on the field and things get worse, well, then at that point, that looks a little bit better. But I am adamant that playing in the spring would be a mess from a football standpoint. I'm almost inclined to say if we can't do it in the fall, let's try to regroup and let's see if we can't get back up and running for spring ball and next fall. But I know financially they're going to try to play some games with some fans to recoup some of the money that's going to be looking like a significant, significant loss around the country. I don't know what you think. I was thinking about this. For example, is there any way that a USC-Alabama game gets off in Texas? I don't see any way at this point that could even be possible. I mean, unless something drastically changes. So I'm starting to think everybody's goes neutral site games. Everybody, and I'm sure they are behind the scenes, they got to start figuring out, all right, look, we kick that down the can, resume it another year. Do we try to do it at one of the home sites? You know, is that going to be healthier? You know, health officials, I just don't see with what's going on in Texas, that's even a possibility to put those two teams there, because I think they're going to look at it as jeopardizing a potential problem for the gut of their schedule. So I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you. It's going to be a mess, and hopefully that it'll be a lot better than any of us are fearing right now.
I'm wondering if you couldn't just reschedule it. You know, Notre Dame Navy, they're not going to Dublin, Ireland. They're playing at
Correct.
Navy, which they've never played at Navy in that game. Could you not play it in Tuscaloosa, or could you not play it in the L.A. Coliseum, or what?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm thinking is there's a better chance of, you know, going into a hotbed of, you know, where the problems are at Texas and both people going. Do either one of those environments, are they safe enough to be able to have it? And look, let's just figure out the money. I mean, nobody's like, well, we need a game. You can figure all that stuff down the road. This is not a year to be having the neutral site games in a Texas or a Florida, when right now that could really potentially just kill your season in terms of creating an infection. And then, you know, how do you deal with it? We still don't know. When you get a bunch of guys infected, what happens after that? Are they good? And what does it mean for the players and staff? And a lot of things that people are still trying to figure out. Be honest with you, Bill, I have not, you know, other than talking with folks, I haven't given a lot of thought because I don't have any answers. And I'm just focusing on we're going to play every game.
Right.
And, you know, just evaluating the players and evaluating the teams. And, as you know, just kind of get everything ready for the fans. And then if we play them all, I'm ready. If we don't, well, then there's nothing I can do about it anyway.
Here's another thought. This might not be on the most important list, but if we, let's say we don't have football, which would mean I would say we're not having basketball, fiscal year is pretty much wiped out financially. I would assume all these head coaching salaries got to go too, right? I mean, where's the money coming from?
Yeah, think the follow a little bit of that with a number of the head coaches, just like one here, one there, and I haven't tracked it or charted it. But there's quite a few coaches that are taking pay cuts. And,
right.
and what they've done is, and the reason is, okay, coach, you know, you're making $5 million a year. We're going to have to start cutting your staff. So they do it in a real-life sense. Okay, it's you, or we're going to have to get rid of A, B, C. And so a lot of coaches to protect their staff. Support staff, which has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and more expenses, you're already seeing it. Now, how much of that is going to be, I don't know. You know, with contracts, the contracts are, I think it would affect if you're doing a contract now. But if you've got an existing contract, well, you know, depending on the language, if there's got any catastrophic clause in it, I would say that they're kind of stuck with paying the head coach. And I think they would probably, well, we're seeing it already. I mean, you saw it at Stanford. You're going to see it. The people that are going to be first off is we're going to start cutting programs. Now, when you're Stanford and you got, you know, no disrespect, but the Pac-12 has far more athletic programs than anybody else. Stanford's got 36. So, I mean, they're cutting, you know, 11, which puts them still above what most people have. That's where it's going to hit. I mean, I think that it's, okay, coach, we'll come after you. You take care of you. Your staff, you got to take a little bit of a pay cut. Mr. Athletic Director, you may have to do some of those things, but that's not going to be enough. They're going to have to say, you know, sports A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever, you know, we're eliminating. And with the possibility of bringing it back down the road, I think that's the other thing, too. We're going to get beyond this at some point, but the financial negative repercussions may be a while, but eventually they'll get it back and, you know, they'll be able to bring those programs back, I would assume, if they want to. But it'll be interesting, some of the decisions that may be made long-term. How much of it do you, if you're a Stanford, do you say, you know what? You know, it's great to have, you know, we got 36 and we got this all, you know, the sports trophy, but 36, do we really need it? You know, and maybe you get down to, you know, to the 22, you know, sports that everybody else has.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. With us, and the Buckeyes announced yesterday that for a week they're going to shut things down because of a case load that's gotten a little out of hand. We don't know the numbers. They're not required or permitted to give us those numbers, but they're going to shut it down for about a week, it looks like.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I guess this, I mean, I don't know, but I guess the theory is, all right, look, we got a problem. It's figured out of hand, like, and we don't want to have what we can't, we don't know how quite out of hand we need to make sure that people are not, we get as few people around as possible so that it become, doesn't become worse. That to me is expected. What's a little bit surprising is when you hear news out of Notre Dame that they've given over 100 tests and like three have test positive. So I'm thinking, what tests are they giving? Are the tests working? Are they really, you know, are they giving it in the grotto with special Catholic blessings? I say that as a Catholic schoolboy. I don't know what to make. I would think most people are going to have a lot of positive tests. The more they test them, it's going to mirror the rest of society. The more we test, the more positive they're going to be, I would think. Just, you know, what does it really mean and how does it really spread and affect your staff and so on and so forth?
I saw on Twitter the other day that somebody suggested, it was a doctor, and I don't know if he was involved with college football or the pros or whatever, but they were talking about these clear masks to put over the face mask of a helmet to protect, you know, from flying sweat and whatever when you're playing football. Would that be a hindrance as far as breathing and things, or is that something that haven't some players used those just infrequently in the past?
Yeah, I know the NFL, and I know a lot of college folks are looking into it. They're trying to great business opportunity for them. But Oakley, not many people are familiar with the Oakley Sunglass Company.
Yes.
They are, the NFL is trying to work out, and I don't know if they'll get it done with them or someone. Yes, if you watch a lot of those clear masks that are attached to the face mask that, you know, mainly it's done to protect poking of the eyes in between. That's, I think, you know, and I don't know if any sort of quality shielding is going to be protective that's going to help. I would think that we're going to probably make that mandatory, or we should. It's not look, you got less breezeway coming in, but I think you can do it potentially. And, again, I don't know how, you know, you hear this about mist and all that, but there is – an underneath part where the air can come in. So the breathing's not an issue, but it does affect, I'm telling you, those things does affect, you know, the cooling apparatuses of, you know, when you're wearing it, particularly in the heat, you know, there's not as much of a cool breeze coming in, and it's just kind of like, you know, opening the window. So I think that's an issue. I think we're going to have officials, though. It's going to be interesting. I would think the officials are going to have something more along the lines of what, like, these doctors wear, because they obviously don't wear, I mean, but maybe it's something that's attached to a hat or a hard hat. I don't know what they're going to do with them, because they can't, I mean, you can't put a mask on and have those older guys running around, but they're the ones probably most on the field that are most vulnerable, because they're around those guys, and they, even though many are in good shape, some are not, many are older, that's a potential issue that I've thought about. And then I think you're going to have issues with certain coaches. I know I was talking with Bruce Arians the other day. You know, he's with the Bucs. He's had a couple of bouts with cancer, and he's looking at, you know, the possibility of maybe, if it got down to it, coaching in the booth with a plexiglass. I mean, if he didn't want to. I mean, there are a lot of different things that internally people are looking at, depending on their situation. Now, most head coaches are not going to want to do that. They're going to be on the field. But if you've got a situation with a coach that's had some health issues, that's some extra considerations. So a lot of things that are going to be minutiae that's going to be real intriguing to figure out. But, you know, all of that's just details on the premise that we can go ahead and play games, which hopefully we can do.
Chris, you got a few minutes on the other side?
Absolutely.
Okay, Chris Landry will be with us one more segment. If you have anything for him, tweet me at Billis King. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. Chris, here's another one. I've talked to a few refs. They're working on technology where you don't have to put that whistle in your mouth. That ain't the place to be doing that.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a push-button whistle. No, that's a good point. Makes sense anyway, you know.
Right.
Remember the old days, you know, they kind of graduated. They used to wear them around their neck, and they realized they're running, and those things would pop up and hit them, and then they put them on their hand where you can have like one of those, you know, just grab. No, it would make all the sense in the world. Have it in your hand and then press the button and go. Just got to make sure it doesn't go off, you know, accidentally, you know. You're
right
running
down.
And you're moving, you're pressing in, you blow the whistle, everybody stops. But, you know, I mean, you know, that's, so I'm sure they're testing it out. But, no, that's a good point. I I heard that a couple of months ago that they're working on that.
Anything on the high schools down there? Are they in a holding pattern to get started?
Well,
or are they working out or what?
You know, I mean, yes, but is it going to change? Like right now, you know, the governor's come out and said they're looking at maybe, because we've had a spike, like a lot of people have, because they've opened things up. Now it's a spike, so now they're trying to figure out, because we went to phase two. Now they're thinking about we may have to go back to phase one. So if we start doing that, I don't know what that means. So like right now, the plan was. So here's the bottom line right now. It's early August, which is when high schools start now.
Right.
They say they got a whole lot of work to do between now and a month from now for kids to be able to go to school, and that's the plan. So with that is going to bring about the decisions on extracurricular activity. So that's to be determined, and as is everything, what they thought maybe 2 weeks ago may be different than today, and yet may be different 2 weeks from now. But there's nothing definitive other than what the plans are at this stage, and then let's see where it takes it the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Chris, tell everybody about what you've got going with all the podcasts and all the people you've added and your service and all of the above.
Well, you know, we've talked about LandryFootball.com for a while, and we've done a bunch of podcasts. And what I have been working on most of the summer, in addition to the scouting work, is putting together a network of TV/podcast shows. Twitch TV, I purchased a channel for Landry Football. It's twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball. Folks can go check it out. We've got a couple of programs already up. We are going to, the 13th, which is the early next week, the Big 12 guys are going to get started. That's Tyler McComas and Brad Kellner. We're going to got the SEC Gumbo up with Blake Graffino. Big 12, Big 10, ACC, Pac-12. We're going to have a just recruiting college football show twice a week. We've got NFL shows going on right now, starting at night, 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. NFL talk, NFL playbook, film room, college football handicapping, fantasy football for the fantasy goer. So we'll have probably over 15 shows, and they're all going to be on Twitch TV. So what does that really mean? You can watch it and interact as they do the podcast live. If you like to consume your podcast by phone or online streaming on your any other mobile device or laptop, desktop, you can still do that. But you're also going to be able to watch it and interact and have a lot of fun. We are, in addition to all of that, the thing I've been working on the most, crossing my fingers, saying my prayers, doing my exercise, everything, hoping I'm trying to land what I think is the best show around to add to the network. And hopefully that'll work out, and hopefully we can talk about that at another day. But that's my hope. But we're really excited about going to have, may not be full 24 hours live, but we're going to have 24 hours a day, mostly the live football shows. And then we'll have some reruns in there for people who may not have the ideal time to watch their favorite show. Plus, you can absorb it, as I said, through podcasts. So we're really excited about the group of people, how they're going to interact off of one another and how lift each other up. And you can find out more details at LandryFootball.com. But it's twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball where you can get a little bit of a taste of what we got so far.
Awesome stuff, Chris. See you next week, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.